Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew. And if you are listening to this podcast on the day it comes out, then tonight we are doing a live Christmas Flatshare Slamdown.
Ho, 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 ho.
Ho, ho, ho is right.
Breaking news, fresh out the grotto. Get on down to Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown tonight. Online, of course. We've got two incredible guests, Josie Long and John Richardson.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be so good.
You can get tickets from eventbrite.co.uk, eventbrite.co.uk. There's a ticket link on our Twitter, at Pappy's Tweet. There's on our Facebook page. And there'll be one in the show notes for this show. But it starts at 8 o'clock. It's online. You can watch it from the privacy and comfort of your own home. And it's going to be really, really fun. So get on down.
Exactly right. At the time of recording, we have yet to write the 12 Days of Christmas, though. So that is pressing.
It's Monday morning on the week of the show.
You might be able to... Maybe you could sniff the doubt in our voice that it is going to actually be a treat. We're never sure of that until we've got the 12 days in the bag. But rest assured, listener dear, we'll be there by then.
Tell you what you can sniff, though, is the Advocaat on our breath.
Oh, my goodness.
Already started.
Absolutely. You've got it. You know, I consider the Advocaat to be festive inspiration. It's liquid inspiration in the same way that Tuborg was liquid soundtrack.
Big shout out to Tuborg there.
Big shout out to Tubes.
Let's get into today's episode. It's an absolute treat.
Well,
before we do,
we've had a few messages. I thought you might want to hear, Parry.
Okay, I'll be the judge of that.
So, exactly. Yeah, you will be the judge of it. This is from Nat via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. If you would like to join Nat in getting in touch, that's the email to do it. pappysflatshare@gmail.com. And Nat writes, "All right, gang. Some fancy old school restaurants or clubs have Welsh rarebit or cod's roe on toast as part of the dessert section. Can confirm it's a great way to end a meal. Cheers, everyone. Bye." Nat, basically, this idea of you rejecting desserts in favour of another... like another savoury. Mm. It's out there, man. Posh places do it.
I always knew. I always had the suspicion I was posh.
Yeah. There's something about the way you carry yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
I always thought deep down I could be posh. And that has just confirmed.
Because there's a certain level of posh, right? There's a certain sort of type of posh person that is sort of doesn't care. They've got a kind of a laissez-faire attitude. They're that level of posh. That they're almost feral. Yeah. And I think that's the kind of posh you might be.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fox posh.
Lawrence Fox posh, exactly. You're like a modern day Lawrence Fox.
Thank you.
Further grist to this mill from Tom via the same email, pappysflatshare@gmail.com. "Hey gang, I can confirm that it's certainly acceptable to have a starter for pudding. Maybe not socially, but certainly within the industry. I went out for dinner with my family many years ago, a delightful Italian restaurant in Godalming. When it came to desserts," again, posh. "When it came to desserts, three of us wanted one, but my wife didn't. She wanted something, but nothing appealed. When the server came to take our orders, out of nowhere, she ordered a cheesy garlic bread. We were shocked, to say the least, and ready for an uproar, but the woman serving us simply replied, 'Yes, of course,' without batting an eyelid. 5 minutes later, three chocolate brownies and a garlic bread arrived. Easy as that. I hope that helps break the taboo. We can all hop on the starters for pudding train. Cheers, Tom."
This does feel like the start of a social movement.
It's a revolution.
It?
Yeah. It's happening.
I am the Lawrence Fox of the restaurant world. Join me, guys. We'll never eat sweets again.
This is a political party that I can really get on board with.
Yeah,
I've struggled with politics, but when it becomes about a starter for pudding, I mean,
yeah,
that, I
finisher.
Understand that.
Maybe the party's going to be called Starter for When.
Oh, I like that.
That's not bad, is it? Nothing from Clarky. Right, okay, well, let's get into...
Well, a taste of your own medicine then, Tom, isn't it?
Ooh, now I know how it feels. Oh, real cold shudder.
That icy chill up your spine is not festive in any way. But this podcast is, though. It's really festive. Right. It's a Beef Brothers cold cuts. It's a Beef Brothers cold turkey, in fact.
Yes, Beef Brothers Turkey Cuts with the brilliant Kieran Dowd as our guest. His first ever podcast, so a podcast debut.
Very exciting, the young old buck. Yeah,
he was
the best newcomer at the Edinburgh Festival a few years ago. He's a brilliant comedian. He used to be he's sort of still kind of a member of the sketch team Beasts, I guess.
And
in the
best newcomer, the best newcomer of the podcast.
Yes, he's the best newcomer we've had on the podcast. Yeah,
absolutely right. So enjoy the episode. We'll see you on the other side.
Well, if you got a problem. Call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry bloody Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas to our wonderful guest, Kieran Dowd.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. Oh, hello. You know what? The hello.
Troubled arrival.
Hello is not prefaced with ooh enough. In the 70s, everybody was saying, oh, hello.
Yeah. It was hello. Everywhere.
Constant. But ever since then, now it's definitely, you know, we've got to bring it back. I've got to say,
especially for Christmas, it's been a tough year.
It's been a really, really hard year for everybody.
Now more than ever, the country needs an ooh, hello.
Ooh, hello. Ooh, hello.
So, Kieran, is it true you're going door to door in your neighbourhood offering ooh, hellos?
It's the my equivalent of carol singing.
So like, ooh, hello, and then I give you a quid, and then off you.
Ooh, hello, they give me a quid, they pay me.
Perfect.
And then I'm off.
And at Halloween, good. It's exactly the same at Halloween, but they give you chocolate, and it's more of a ooh.
Hello. Oh, it's ooh, it's Halloween.
Ooh, Halloween. Exactly. Yeah. We should as well say it's a 1 o'clock p.m. recording, and Kieran is deep into a bottle of white wine.
Yeah.
And why not? It's a Thursday.
It's coming up to Christmas. I'm feeling very festive. I also haven't done a podcast before, so...
Oh! Ever? Is this your first ever pod?
This is my first one. I've turned down all the others, and there's been some big ones, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But, well, no, I'm not going to tell you, because it'd be rude.
No, please, let's keep that secret.
Well, let's say less than Marin.
Okay. You've not had the WTF knock just yet.
Around about Stuart Goldsmith.
Right. Okay. I can work it out.
It was Stuart Goldsmith.
You said no to Goldsmith. Well, you're going to hate this next question, Kieran. Are you happy?
Delighted. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, of course you are. You've got a bottle of wine on the go.
You'd be fine on Goldsmith. There you go. That's all it is.
I mean, the problem with the wine is I said to myself, oh, I'll have a lovely little rum and coke before I do this, and that'll put me right in the mood. But we didn't have any coke, what I found is I think a 5-day-old bottle of wine that was in the fridge.
You found the cooking wine.
I found the cooking wine, and I'm into that.
Listen, it's got a bit of a tang in it.
Mm. When you do go on Goldsmith, be careful about stocking up on alcohol first, because we made that mistake. When we did Goldsmith's record, we did our drunk episode of Pappy's first, and we were like, let's get drunk and do a drunk record. And then afterwards, we'll do Goldsmith's podcast. That'll be really fun. And by the time we got to Goldsmith, we were battered and having this kind of career retrospective that got very emotional.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm not ready for those questions.
And you know that if somebody, you know, this is very inside baseball, but the Goldsmith has a podcast called The Comedian's Comedian, where comedians talk about their own comedy.
It's very good.
But it's a fantastic podcast, but it's good for two reasons. You either hear about brilliant comedians being brilliant about comedy, or you hear about people talking about themselves in a very pretentious way, which is absolutely delightful. And I think we were in both categories, depending on from moment to moment, we oscillated between both categories. I listened back to that, through gritted ears.
I listened to it myself. It was a tough listen.
I know.
Really was.
So that's why you decided to say yes to our podcast. You thought, well, I'll set the bar low to begin with.
I'll ease in. Easier to have opinions about other people than myself.
Well, yes. Let's start. This is a Christmas. This is our Christmas special, by the way. It's Beef Brothers Cold Turkey.
Holy moly! Well, I'm a huge fan of Christmas, so this is exciting for me.
What's Christmas like for you ordinarily? Forget the pandemic. What would it normally be like?
Well, on a normal year, I'd be prepping to go back to Ireland for Christmas, and so this is
back to the old country,
the motherland. So this will be the first year that I don't do that.
That sounds great. Is Christmas is that great going home in Ireland? Do you like? I'm picturing packed pubs, Guinness.
There's packed,
all the stereotypes,
steamy pubs.
Basically. Yeah,
it's yeah.
Someone's got a fiddle on the go.
Well, look, there are versions of Ireland, and that is not my one. Like that right. is down the country. I'm sure that is happening somewhere, but in my industrial grey town, it's more a brawl outside than a fiddle inside.
Hopefully both. Will you be reuniting with the sort of the weird girl from school that you had a bit of an affair with, but you couldn't tell any of your cool mates about because she was the weird girl, and you've always held a candle for her, and she's going to be in the pub, and you're going to be in the pub, and you're going to sort of exchange glances, and then you're going to go outside and kiss, but if your friends see you, then you're in trouble. Is that what it's like?
Well, there was a bit of that for a certain amount of time. Like, I've been over here for 16 years, I think, now. And right. So in the first maybe up to 10 years, you would go back and it would be the time when everyone came back, and everyone would go to the same nightclub, Fusion. Shout out to Fusion.
Fusion.
And it would be a big night. It was always St. Stephen's Night, Boxing Day. And everyone would go out and you would see everyone you hadn't seen for 10 years. That has become less so, but myself and my friend Harry are still going. And now it's just become...
You're the weird old guys
in
Fusion.
We've become the really weird old guys who are just there for one night of the year. And the demographic has gotten so painfully young now. And we every year we've gotten weirder.
You're the teacher in Normal People now.
Yeah. There was 2 years ago we decided that's it. We can't go back. It's off. And we just went to the local pub and we sat there and we had our drinks and we went out at closing time, but Christmas was missing something. It just wasn't the same. It had ended at like 12. We were still ready to go. There was nowhere to go at that point. It really lost something. So we went back the next year. They were even younger. We felt worse. It was awful. Yeah. And this year, I guess that I don't have to make that decision. And I feel good about that.
Fusion's been taken out of the equation.
You've been out of the equation. I'll be zooming. I'll be FaceTiming Harry on his own in Fusion.
You're trying house party into some random student's Zoom Christmases.
There are two kinds of fake IDs you can get to get into Fusion. One makes you older, the other one makes you younger. And so Kieran has to get the fake ID, which brings like sort of, let's say 16 years off his age. Just brings him right down.
Just too appropriate.
Exactly, yeah. I've got a right to be here, guys. Well, hopefully this will be just like Fusion, a bit of argy-bargy as we delve into some of the beefs that our listeners have sent us. Thanks to everyone who sent beefs in. Tom, do you want to start with yours? I think it's a bauble beef.
I love the sound of my own voice. Okay, so bauble beef from Ben via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch, guys. Get in touch. It's not rocket science. Get in touch. Hi, Crosby, Parry, Clarkey, and guest.
I have a name.
Look, Stuart Goldsmith.
They just didn't think you'd ever do a podcast. And they were like, well, I would guess Kieran Dowd, but we all know that guy doesn't do podcasts.
Sure, fair enough.
Long time listener, most recent Patreon subscriber, and first time writing in. We love to hear all those things. We have a beef that comes up with my family every year. A long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Lonely
Holy Bible says. Do you call it the Lonely Bible?
it's like the Lonely Planet. Yeah. So when I'm travelling around the Middle East, I take the Lonely Bible with me. This stable's got great reviews. A long time ago, when my younger sister was still at school, we noticed when ordering her school photos that you could also order the school photo in a bauble.
Yes, please.
Whoa.
Obviously, Mom and I conspired and we bought it. The bauble is transparent, with her photo down the middle appearing on either side. It's a pretty sizable bauble. You can't really miss it. The argument arises when it comes time to decorate the tree. My sister obviously argues that it shouldn't go up. Classic. I believe it belongs front and centre on the tree. Awful brother. She often wins the argument, but then I secretly hook it back up on the tree. So lovely you see stuff. It through the window if you come in through the back door. This normally doesn't go down well. I think it should be noted that there are plenty of family and childhood photos around the house, and my parents have a much earlier and far more embarrassing school photo of me up permanently in the living room. For reference, my sister's school photo is from roughly age 16, mine is from age 11, we're both in our 20s now. Beef Brothers, please give us a verdict. Is my sister a Scrooge and should admit that having her school photo bauble up is just some Christmas fun? Or am I being mean and no one should have to have their old school photos outed like that for everyone to see? Cheers everyone, why? Ben.
Why?
Cheers everyone, why? Sorry.
Did you say cheers everyone, why? Did you have an existential crisis halfway through that?
Cheers everyone, why? Cheers everyone, what's the fucking point? Bye.
Can someone check on Ben? Check he's all right.
I prefer cheers everyone, why?
Well, that's how we're going to end today's podcast. So, firstly...
I love everything about this.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, we've actually got two that are quite similar back to back. So I wondered if we could read the next one and then try and sort of listen. It's Christmas. Let's try and multitask here. Okay, you've got to do a lot of plate spinning.
Just before we get into the second one, Dowders, have you got a brothers or sisters?
I've got one younger brother.
There we go. Okay, so we've got an older brother giving advice here. Okay.
You're middle.
You're a middle child.
Yeah,
exactly.
Clarky's middle. Yeah. I'm older. Yeah.
Right,
we've got no youngest, but that's still fine.
Okay.
We don't need their opinion.
No.
No, they've said that.
They don't have one. They do not count.
They get enough love from mum and dad. Yeah. So just let's leave it.
My youngest brother was the only one out of the four of us to be allowed sugar in their tea. Isn't that an outrage?
What?
No one else allowed sugar in their tea as kids.
Is that because by that point you were all allowed sugar in your tea, so you thought, oh, we may as well let Tim?
No, we still weren't.
What?
That's so weird.
We've never been allowed sugar in our tea. The youngest, Tim, allowed sugar in his tea. Insane when you look back on that.
Well, I guess they looked at you and thought, well, they're going to be big no matter what. the non-sugar thing hasn't worked out. They're all big old boys up there. Let's just let it slide.
In for a penny, in for too many pounds. there you go.
Do you have sugar in your tea now as like a sort of little rebellious act?
Mum's nickname for Tim was her little chickadee. So chickadee was allowed sugar in his tea. Outrageous. Such bias. Anyway.
It's tough, isn't it?
Let's not get distracted.
No. We could go down that route.
But put it this way, spoiler alert, I'm going to be in big favour of having the sisters bauble on the tree.
Well, I've told you about how I was taking guitar lessons, learning to play the guitar, right, for ages. And I was desperate for an electric guitar, right? I want to play an electric guitar. Mum and Dad, can I get an electric guitar, please? Because I want an electric guitar. And they're like, no, not until you've done your GCSEs. And even then you've got to get the right grades and all this kind of stuff. You can't have an electric guitar. And maybe if you get a job and you save up some money, you could buy your own electric guitar, but we're not getting an electric guitar. One day we're having dinner. My youngest brother's just whacking knives and forks on the table, just indiscriminately whacking. They go, should we get him a drum kit? And I was like, are you fucking kidding? He's expressed no interest in having a drum kit. They bought him the drum kit. I said, look, I tell you what, I'm going to pay half of this drum kit and it's going to be my drum kit to share with him. It sat in his room. He would use it as a clothes horse. He'd put his clothes over it. I would take the clothes off and I taught myself to play the drums out of spite. That's the only reason I can play the drums. I wanted to play the guitar. That was a sheer spite. It was a sheer spite tutorial.
And you know, that is why you went on to write the Christmas song, The Little Drummer Boy.
That's right.
It's actually about you and your struggles with your family, isn't it?
Every parupa pum pum dripping with absolute bile.
Peace on earth, can it be? No, it fucking can't. Not until you buy me an electric guitar.
Just a squire, come on. Right, let's read Clarkie's and then we'll see if we can. Squire.
Okay, I've got tree beef from Ricky, and this one's via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch that way as well. What's up, chaps?
What's up,
chaps?
What's up?
Merry Christmas. Here's my beef. My girlfriend and long-suffering housemate, Molly, believes Christmas decks should be modern and classy. Think white lights on tree and silver-dusted holly along the fireplace. I would say silver dusted holly, not classy, but let's not
get
into that. I, on the other hand, love gaudy Christmas. I'm talking multicolored tree lights, gold and red tinsel all over the place,
and silver dusted holly.
Yeah, and those.
The one thing we can agree on.
Yeah, and those cheap foil decorations hanging from the ceiling. Which one of us is right? Wow. Surely Christmas is time to be loud and gauche rather than cool and contemporary. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Cheers, everyone. Why?
Oh, I tell you what, just very quickly before we move on, talking about Christmas tree mishaps, Az fell over in the middle of the night.
No.
No. And the I thought someone had smashed one of our windows. I thought we were getting robbed.
I don't like the story. I don't like a tree falling over. That happened to me while I was away in Ireland. I came back to a fallen tree and
did it make a sound?
Nobody knows. But my favourite decoration was broken. And it was
Oh no. This puts me in mind of happened 2 days ago. My mother, because we can't make it we can't be with her for Christmas, posted us all little baubles of a car with a Christmas tree on top, like strapped to the top. And she said, because we can't be driving home for Christmas, we've all got one. So, you know, my brother in Chatham, my brother in Liverpool, my sister up in the northeast.
Your other brother, she bought them a real car. Yeah, a real car with a trim. Yeah. Look outside your window. Okay, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's right. We all texted thanks for the car, but I didn't check. I would love it if she bought a new Audi TT for my three other siblings. And she's like, we'll have this bauble.
There you go, you little drummer boy.
No, but as I unwrapped it, I could feel it was fragile. I could hear a little bit of ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and the back wheels had shattered off. Mine was the only one that broke. So I haven't even got my little driving home for Christmas bauble.
Sorry to say this, mate, but it was broken before she wrapped it.
Oh, God. Get the fucking message, Crozzers.
It was half price in the shop, that was. I'll have those three working ones. Did you see that one that's broken and shit? Can I get that for 50p? Right, so let's get into these beefs then. So, two big beefs here.
Kieran. Yeah. What are your immediate thoughts about the big bauble with the face in it and gaudy Christmas decorations?
Right. Let's take them one at a time. Let's take the face. My instinct is you've got to terrible. Accept what your face used to look like.
That is so true.
Back in the motherland, I can feel myself slurring.
Picture it now.
Two reasons. One, you're talking about Ireland. Two, you're pissed out your mind at 20
he's
past one.
Himself an inside
every year, we would go on holiday down to a little house in County Kerry that my great aunt owned. That was our holiday for the year. But there was one year when I was 12 years old, and we went to Florida and we went to Disney World.
Wowee.
Can you believe it?
What a Christmas.
I mean, I didn't mean to leave that sort of gap, that pause of, and it was Disney World. But I am drunk and I have forgotten where the story was going.
So anyway, I had a nice life. Let's talk about the bauble.
Oh, that's it. I had a caricature done in Disney World. And my family framed it in a really expensive frame with a little border around it and everything. And it was pride of place in my bedroom. And I hated it because I was an ugly child. And this caricature just accentuated as it's supposed to.
You're a caricaturist dream.
And he was
licking his lips when you came.
Tom, do you remember this? On we once went on a trip abroad with our youth theatre, and a caricaturist was trying to go around the airport. It was like, I'll draw you picture for so much money. And everyone was like, no, 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 no. And he pointed at me and went, I'll do this guy for free. That's how much of a caricature extreme I was. So he ended up doing all of our caricatures. He did a big caricature of all of us for free because he so much wanted to draw my ridiculous face.
The caricaturist's muse.
So I feel yeah. your pain, mate.
It's amazing that they had it framed. That's really tough.
Because the framing means you can't take it down. Because they've spent, like, at that point, I don't know what it costs to frame a picture, but let's say
too much money.
It is
always
so
too much
you have
money.
The price of the caricature, the price of the framing, all of that together. This is an expensive bit of kit. It's now pride of place in my bedroom, and I have to look at myself all through my childhood at how awful I am. And it doesn't matter that I get a little bit better looking as the years go by. It doesn't matter that I learn how to style my hair. It doesn't matter that the braces fix my shit face. Nothing. I still have to look at that like it's a mirror and it's staring down at me.
No. It's the caricature of Dorian Gray. You're getting better looking and that is getting worse. The more you look at it, you go, oh God, would I really look like that? Because there's more distance between you and the caricature. It's actually quite a useful thing.
Well, and so that brings us back to the bauble. You've got to accept who you were, who you've become, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You can't imagine. Are you crying? A normal bauble, anyway, when you look at it, it has your face in it, looking shit, right? That's everyone's experience of looking at baubles. You look at any bauble, your face is reflected back in it, and it looks silly.
Right. So think about it. I guess that's true. Yeah.
I don't want to get too philosophical about it.
But I mean, that is so profound. I guess you hope is that your new boyfriend or your friends don't come around and look, like, if they look at it, they're looking at themselves. Whereas with this bauble, they are definitely still looking at your shit face.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, very good point. It's a good point. I mean, the thing is, the great thing about going back at Christmas time is that you get to sort of revert back to the kind of the relationships you have with your siblings that you don't really have the rest of the year round. You know, when you're just, you know, chatting on your WhatsApp or you're having occasional phone conversations or whatever it is, whichever ways you're communicating. When you're all back in the same house, you become like sort of feral versions of your 14-year-old self. You're fighting each other. You're taking the piss out of each other. You're playing tricks on each other. You're telling on your siblings to your parents. I think this is all the fun of the fair, this bauble. I think this is all the fun of the festive fair.
Exactly. You've right. got What's the phrase? Something to my grist?
Grist to the mill.
Grist to the mill. This is all
Christmas grift to the festive mill.
This is exactly, you took the idea right out of my head, Crosby. I love this because we shouldn't solve this beef. This beef is part of Christmas. This is like watching Muppets Christmas Carol on a Christmas Eve. We can't take this beef away from these people.
No.
Because this is part of Christmas Day for them. The bauble debate, it can't be solved by us.
Exactly. I mean,
it should never be solved.
This does render the rest of the podcast slightly redundant if we're saying Christmas beef should not be solved, as that is the central purpose of the podcast.
Right, let's just wrap this up. Let's get hammered.
Join me.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm genuinely tempted to go and crack into the fridge one, but I've got to go back to work after this.
That's what Christmas is. So exactly. If we solve this, because look, where's this heading? In 10, 15 years' time, when your sister's got a Christmas of her own, she's got her own Christmas tree, you're going to be smuggling that bauble in.
Yeah.
You're going to be sneaking it onto her tree. It's going to be all part of like your, look what Uncle Ben's done. Not only has he bought us some rice. it's all good, clean Christmas fun, isn't it?
I think what the sister in this instance needs to do is not remove the bauble, but put something else somewhere around the house. Make a little model, like an Elf on the Shelf style model of Ben, accentuating all his weirdest features.
I mean, I've got advice for Ben.
No, not you, Clarky.
Right, this is what I'd say to Ben. Yeah. Take a picture of you laughing and pointing to the side. Send it to a bauble place. get a new bauble made of you laughing and pointing and stick it next to your sister's bauble.
Nice.
So yes. That you're laughing at your sister's bauble. The fun's just been doubled, my friend. Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know.
Christmas.
Oh, hold on.
That's Halloween. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. I was working in my workshop late one night.
I don't know what's been said because I had to go to the door.
You went not to the door. Of course you did. Was it Chris Kringle?
It was, yes. Okay. And, it was a ball.
Apologise for knocking your tree down last night. Listen, I was making my Christmas deliveries and I sneezed on your tree.
Oh, mate, wear a mask. So, yeah, what I was going to say is, like, and I don't know if this has already been said, but it's all part of the fun.
Yeah, fucking hell, Clarky, come on.
You can't fuck off halfway through.
You can't leave and then come back.
Fuck off and answer the door and come back like fucking Confucius with the answer. No, thank you.
We've already called it Christmas Grift to the Festive Mill. You can't come in with all part of the fun. Come, that's not a punch-up.
Jesus Christ, how dare you?
Clarky.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Really regretting ringing your doorbell now.
Be honest. Be honest. Did someone ring your doorbell or did you go to the off licence? Be honest now. There's an off licence downstairs. We know it's very
the
close to your front door.
The off licence rang me. It rang my doorbell and was like, mate, you've not been in today. What's going on?
Kieran, then. So we've solved that one by not solving it. You wanted to do them one at a time. Let's pick through this festive decorations, gaudy decorations.
The gaudy here. Thing. Look. I don't know.
Would you like us to remind you about it?
I still know what gaudy is. I can't figure out what I think about this. One of my favourite decorations on my tree this year is an alligator that's wearing a top hat and he's got a little tinsel neckerchief. And he's nice. Disgusting, but he's a lot of fun.
Where did that boy come from?
I think my girlfriend's mother. I think that's where he came from, and I love him, and he's disgusting, but I love him because he's disgusting, and so there's nothing wrong with that. I like a nice Christmas. I like Christmas to feel nice. I like the house to look nice, so there's a lot of tasteful decorations around that. I think it's about finding a balance. Find a place for the gaudy, find a place for the disgusting amongst the nice stuff. If it's full on tack, I think it'll be gross. But
what do you feel about the outside decorations of the house? Because I've just moved to a new street and it's quite a long road, and we are, if you're walking to our house from the station, you're going, bloody hell, this is a nice road. But we are the first house of the shit half of the street. So halfway through the street, the houses all look different and they all changed. And on our half of the street, all of the decorations are, you know, the big robotic Santa that's waving, the Christmas tree that's moving around, the thing that's projecting like snowflakes all over the house. That's our half. The other half is the sort of the dewdrop light falling down from the windowsill, that kind of stuff. Now, next year will be kind of our first year when we've actually got a bit of a run up to it. We can actually buy all the Christmas decorations in time. Do we go for the gaudy? Because I quite like to.
You've got to decide who you want to be.
The Santa hanging off the roof with his legs wiggling.
Joe, would be really funny to do. Split it.
Yeah.
Do half your house gaudy and half your house tasteful, and that way you're announcing to the street.
I love it. That's a brilliant idea.
We are the boundary.
We've got a foot
a
in
man
both
for
camps.
All seasons.
Yeah, I love it.
But mostly Christmas.
A man for one season, the festive season. Leave it up all year.
Because the other thing is, well, people really go for it on Halloween, but Halloween, all bets are off. The gaudier the better, really, on Halloween.
There's no class.
Get your
dick out on Halloween.
Absolutely.
trick or trick.
That's both trick and
ding
trick.
Ding dong. Ooh, hello. My dick's out.
Can I have a candy?
Ding dong, check out my ding dong.
Oh, Halloweener.
Dick or treat.
Dick or exactly.
I think my mom has in recent years moved away from buying a Christmas tree or even having a plastic Christmas tree that she puts up every year. She found like one of those like driftwood that's been repurposed as a Christmas tree.
What?
Like driftwood painted white and like assembled up a wooden pole. So
she's
like
a huge Travis fan. We should say this, shouldn't we?
It's like an arty Christmas tree, and that's too far along.
I think that is too far along. That's almost not acknowledging Christmas exists.
That's her vibe.
Yeah, that's, exactly. It's kind of too, you know, and so that's, you need to row it back from there, basically.
Right.
To continue the nautical theme.
How
far? I should say she's a lighthouse keeper. Sorry, I missed that out. My mom is Portland Bill.
So for Christmas,
just about to say Portland Bill, and then I was like, that's too much.
For Christmas lights, she's got one very big light that rotates, hasn't she? That's the only one she's got.
I keep saying to her, paint the fucking thing green, wrap some tinsel around it. You're on your way. Oh my God, lighthouse
she's
keepers.
Absolutely round the twist.
Do lighthouse keepers do that?
Paint there. I think sort of. I don't think they probably paint the bulb in the lighthouse because it's quite useful. The lighthouse, isn't it?
Yeah, but at least,
for people not dying.
You know, wrap some tinsel all the way around your lighthouse so it looks a bit like a big Christmas tree.
Well, I tell you what, Parry. You know, like traffic lights. Do they wrap a load of tinsel around them around Christmas time?
No, they don't,
because that stops people crashing their cars into each other.
They should keep them all on at the same time, or they should
just
have
them
blinking.
Constantly flashing.
it did cause an accident. He wasn't wearing his seatbelt, but fortunately he'd wrapped himself in so much tinsel.
So what are we saying? Do we go? I mean, my tendency is to go gaudy. I think my wife would prefer, like, I've bought a load of sort of crap porcelain figures from Homebase with batteries in them that, like, sort of Victorian men are sitting on a park bench cheersing each other with flagons while people skate in front of them. Like, that's my idea of Christmas. You stick that on the mantelpiece, it looks really classy. It lights up, looks like a sort of a little festive scene. But Charlie doesn't want those out the
box. I think outdoors you go gaudy. I think maybe that could be the compromise. Outdoors you go gaudy. Yeah. That's for everyone to see. You make an absolute state of yourself. The neighbours,
yeah,
you get
the
neighbours talking. But inside you don't have to look at it. Inside you have the niceness. And I think that's maybe the way to go, and maybe compromise.
So you're basically kind of fly tipping your decorations. Yeah. Just put all the shit ones outside. Put all the shit ones outside on the road. You were like, oh yeah. I mean, they're definitely not weatherproof, any of them.
This is so nice. We'll leave it in the street.
Right. Well, beef solved.
Double beef solved.
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Team!
Yes.
Oh, bloody hell.
My sister is hosting our family this year. Brackets, total 5 people, all adults. She insists...
Don't worry, we're not going to dob you in,
mate. We're not shopping you in.
We're not those kind of podcasters, mate.
Who is this from, by the way?
Mary Frances.
Mary Frances.
That's a lovely Catholic name.
From the gorgeous
Catholic.
Via name. Patreon, please do subscribe. Email in if you.
He's got it. He's got all the terms. He's got all the lingo.
She insists that all guests are to put their feet up and relax. But I know that if we actually put our feet up and do nothing, she'll be stressed out, running around, picking up after us and getting everything done more or less single-handedly. Brackets again, her partner does all the cooking, but she does everything else. She likes hosting and she's good at it. But 2.5 days of minding an entire household will, of course, be hard work. So how do I sneakily contribute, help out, and generally lower the stress levels without getting yelled at to get my arse back on the couch and relax? Or is that what she wants? A chance to yell, "Relax," at me while not having to actually wash the every plate herself. End. That's the end. I did it all.
You did a beautiful. Can I just say, a really, really, you're a good cold reader. There's a reason you get so many of those adverts. It's because you're good. Just good. You're good in the moment. You get the source material, you know, very, very quickly. You get your head around it.
Give it to me. Good. I'll give it to you.
That's. I love that. I love that. Acting is reacting, aka
reading
give it to me.
Is rereading.
I'll give it to you.
and podcasting is repodcasting.
Absolutely. So. And day drinking is tragic. No, of course it's not. It's from December 1st onwards, as soon as Magic FM is playing Christmas music all day, all bets are off. You can have brandy for breakfast.
Do you know what? I always think like day drinking's like a little bit gaudy and night drinking's like quite classy. So I do my day drinking outside.
Day drinking in the park.
Yeah, on the streets.
That's for the kids.
So
that's for the neighbours to see.
So we have got... an interesting problem, because I think a lot of people experience this at Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, the parents do love it, don't they? They do love to stick it all on their shoulders and say, "Oh, I'm going to do all of this."
There is a sort of martyrdom to Christmas, isn't there? Yeah, there's a sort of self-flagellation to, "I want to do it all." And also as well, there's an element of, because I know the one year that we did Christmas, I felt incredibly aggrieved. I never felt like people were getting into it as much as I wanted them to. You know, you sort of set yourself a bar of like, well, if I'm going to do all the work, I want you to have loads and loads of fun. Yeah, why aren't you having loads of fun? You're just sat there reading the paper. I want you to have loads and loads of fun. You go, you can't, like, it's a tricky one with Christmas, isn't it? Because it's very, very hard to please everybody at the same time. You know, it's a time when you realise, hey, we may be family, but we are disparate.
I've got two tricks here.
I didn't say desperate, by the way. I said disparate.
I've got two tricks, I'd say.
I've got a trick and all, yeah. I'm looking forward to this.
First one, every time you go and get yourself a drink, make sure you get yourself that drink. And as you're going, say, "I'm just getting myself a drink. Does anyone else want one?" That way it isn't like, "Give me that job." But it means people are always going to be stocked up with drinks.
Lovely.
And it's just a subtle way of doing it. You just go, "Oh, I'm getting myself a drink. Does anyone else want one?"
Great.
Plus then you make sure you get to have the lion's share of the Baileys. Yeah. So, you know, like,
you control the measures.
You know where the Baileys is.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, but like that takes away immediately making sure everyone's got a drink from your mom running around. Mm-hmm. Secondly, eat off your hands more.
I like this.
Oh, Christmas dinner with Tom Parry is an absolute state.
So look, obviously,
no plates for me, thank you. Pour the gravy straight into my gob.
Obviously, with your din-dins, that's fine. That's going to be on the plate, no probs. But, you know, I'm talking about afternoon, evening. You know, you can have a lot of buffets going on and, you know, can help yourself, things like that. So the more you eat on the go, in your hand, at the buffet table, the less you're creating mess for your mom.
Oh, I love how you're kind of shaping this as though this is something you did for the benefit of other people, when really it's just Tom hunched over the buffet table.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about mom. Away.
I've got a great idea that sort of it takes that one step further, Parry, because I love that idea about eating with your hands. I think that's great, or eating off your hands. What about this? When you arrive on Christmas Eve, you say, "I've got everybody in the house a present," right? Everyone's going, "Bloody hell, Christmas Eve presents. This is exciting." You hand them out, and you know, like at the theatre, those ice cream trays? You've got everybody one of those. And you go, that's you for the day, right? You're all carrying around a tray. So anytime you want a drink, you want food, whack it in the tray, right? And then at the end of the holiday, as everyone's going home, you say, "Hand in your trays. I'll chuck them in the landfill."
That's great, because it picks up all the crumbs. It's like one of those. It's like exactly. One of those baby Everything's, bibs that's got the kind of the little.
You're basically, yeah, you're giving the scoop bib to every member of the family. And it also means you can have Christmas dinner on the go. So if you want to have a little wander around the house while you're having Christmas dinner, absolutely fine.
Get away from your family.
I don't know about you, but as soon as I've had a bit of Christmas dinner, I always get quite antsy. I want to get up. I want to move around.
Yeah, so very
I
think true.
Couple of sprouts. I want to do a couple of laps of the house. I've got my Christmas tray.
Also, I hate it when mid-dinner you need to go to the toilet and you have to stop. So that way you just get to take it with you.
Oh, one of the worst things is having to put your food down to go to the loo. No way. Turkey drumstick, just plock it in your tray.
Block it in the scoop bib.
Block it in the scoop bib, exactly.
Okay, yeah, these are all really helpful things that actually improve Christmas as well.
Yeah.
Not only are you helping your mom, you're improving your own Christmas.
I'm going to take it one step further. In your parents' house... You arrange in November time, which you can't do it now, but in November time for a plumber to go around and plumb in six toilets in the front room. So you're all sat on the toilet.
With a scoop bib.
With a scoop tray in front of you. Actually,
just Bailey straight from
that. Well, just a litter.
Just a scoop tray if you've got the toilet, because they just sort of like, I've eaten prawn crackers on the toilet before and the crumbs just drip down into the bit between my legs.
Your pubes.
So just
through the thigh gap.
So for this year, Christmas dinner is prawn crackers in the nude on the lav.
With a bottle of Baileys.
With a bottle of Baileys.
And if they're not grateful.
I've brought my own prawn crackers. Clarky, what's your suggestion?
Well, actually, mine. You kind of covered yours.
You popped out to answer the door while we were saying. Sorry, yeah, you've just
so
come
what
back.
I'm saying
so
is
sorry,
scoop
go on.
Tray.
For fuck's sake! What's
all part of the fun?
What? So yeah, I was gonna say, give if you turn up and with the intention of just like a job. So I know Tom, you covered this a little bit.
Now. You'd love that. You'd love to be able to turn up and tell your family you've got a job. Don't make this about you, Clarky. Just please your mum for once. Lie and pretend you've got a job.
I've got a job, but you know what? There's going to be presents from me this year. Yeah.
This year, Clarky's present to his family is business cards. Going to hand out a business card. It's just say Ben Clark employed. That'll be it. Then a phone number underneath it.
Not my number, of course.
No, of course. I'll vouch for you.
Just 999.
I called the phone and Emily Attack answered it.
Kieran, have you ever hosted Christmas? Do you ever host? Do you help out? What's your deal?
No, I'm a big helper. I go back. Well, the thing with my thing is it's the one time of year that I'm back there, and so I make a real effort.
The prodigal son.
As does everyone. Like my mum makes a big effort for me because it's the one time of year she sees me. Everyone's making a big effort. I make a big effort to do stuff around the house, to do all that. What I would say is, what my opinion on this is just let her do it because she wants to. I know my mother wouldn't really...
The Billy Piper.
I know my mother wouldn't really take...
Yeah.
Like, she likes a bit of help doing the vegetables in the morning on Christmas Day. She likes that. But she also likes her plan. She likes to be doing Christmas the way she wants to do it. And it's her chance to, in a way, show us all how much she loves us and how much all of that. So, to an extent... You just let her have her moment of looking after you because that's what she's looking for from Christmas.
That's a very good point. It's a good point. And if you are feeling guilty, employ a bit of stealth helping.
Yeah.
Stealthing.
Stealth on the shelf.
Yeah. That's what you want to do. So little jobs, they don't feel like jobs, like getting sorting out drinks. Or even just
taking out the recycling
out food. Just
sneaky. While everyone's watching the film, you're just tucking away that recycling.
Absolutely. Go to the bathroom, go, this place needs regrouting. Just get the corking gun out and do a little bit of regrouting. Just basically sort of handy Andy the place a little bit. Just go around, do a little, you know, hammer in a nail, do that kind of stuff.
When we were on holiday, when we used to have family summer holidays away, we used to have a competition. We'd play golf in the morning, and whoever came last would be drinks boy for the day. And it was your job to make sure everyone had drinks for the day. Then that evolved to whoever came second last became sage boy, which was snacks and general errands. And that got problematic because general errands, there's
room for abuse there, isn't there?
You know, general errands is problematic, and it always caused. But I guess, is that what you were suggesting, Clark? Is you go back and go, I'm going to be drinks boy this year, or I'm going to be sage boy?
Yeah, that's generally what I do. I just go like, oh, I'm in charge of drinks.
I'm going to be drinking all the drinks, guys.
Well, I mean, like you said, it does help. It does mean that you're, you know, top of the list.
Oh, I tell you what's good in Clarkie's
house. If I want a drink, I make sure everyone else gets one as well. And until my brother comes round, because he never does anything, and then I'm like, you're in charge of the drinks while you're here.
So as drinks boy, you are allowed to tell other people.
You can deputise.
I just do with him because he'll never raise a finger otherwise. So, I forcibly go, you're in charge of drinks, and then
beating up on our brothers this podcast, haven't we? We've really used it to get out of there. Clarkie's family have a real treat at Christmas. Every Christmas, old Clarkie's dad, the Slayer, he goes off to the local brewery, this little independent brewery, and comes back with a keg of Anvil ale that they keep under the kitchen table. And there's always a keg of Anvil on the go in Clarkie's house. Oh,
mamma mia.
It's the absolute taste of Christmas.
Is it true that your mum does a keg stand as well? Just after the Queen's speech.
Butt-chug.
You know what they say, the family that butt-chugs together stays together.
I wouldn't be the ideal host. she hosts something. The ideal host pipe. Right, so...
Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, we love you, Louise. Sorry.
Don't worry, she doesn't listen.
That's good. It's a good point.
From the sorting out your beef. Solved.
Do we come to Kieran's beef now? Kieran's festive beef?
Kieran, do you have a festive beef that you'd like us to solve?
Well, so as we know, I'm not going back to Ireland. I'm going to my girlfriend's mother and that family for Christmas.
Big.
Now, my girlfriend...
Okay. First time.
First time. I've met them a lot. We've been on holidays together. We've done all sorts together, but this will be the first time, Chris.
What, you and your girlfriend?
Okay.
Fast friends.
Yeah. So my girlfriend's mother is famously no fan of food. And Christmas...
What?
Yeah. We went on holidays last year where the conversation of what would your last meal be on... Death Row. Hers was...
Where were you on holiday?
We were in...
Alcatraz.
And she chose a ham and cheese sandwich from Sainsbury's.
Oh, no. You're fucked, mate. This is not going to be a good Christmas.
So that's my thing. So Christmas is in lots of ways all about food. All about the food. So my question, what I want to know is, is it legal? Can I inflict my wants on another family's Christmas? Like, what can you do in terms of taking over, going, do you know what, actually, I'm going to... Because I'm happy to cook. I'll do all of that. But to come in on Christmas Eve and go, oh, that's disgusting. How about I make this? Like, how much can you inflict yourself on another family's
Christmas?
Here's
what you do.
Wait, can I ask a couple of questions before Parry gives his verdict? Kieran... Let me just ask, what would be their traditional Christmas dinner in that household? Have you got any idea? Has your girlfriend told you what they might eat for a family that would, you know, that prefers a cheese and ham sandwich to anything
else? Here's the confusing thing, because she said a cheese and ham sandwich, but normally she considers herself a vegetarian. So
It's her last meal, mate. You've got to let her
have the ham.
She's about to depart this world. You might as well take a pig with you.
So she would want, at best, a nut roast. But maybe not even that. Like, if it was up to her, I don't know if she'd even do that.
Right. here's my suggestion for you, right? You're gonna have a tough time influencing the dinner itself, because that's very much someone's kind of, that's their, they're the host, they get to say what's going to be the dinner. But what you can do is you can, in a magnanimous gesture that's going to make you seem very generous, is you can say, look, you're hosting as a treat. Ding dong, what's that on Christmas Eve? Oh, you have put in a big supermarket order. Ooh. And it's getting delivered on the 23rd. It's a surprise. And they'll be like, oh my God, what's all this? And it's like, look, that's just my treat to the house, guys. Let's have a great Christmas. I just want to say thank you for hosting. Here's a big, here's some loads of treats for the house. And in that supermarket order, there's your big wheel of brie. There's your big chunk of gammon. All the shit that you know you're going to need in that house to have a massive Christmas. And what the family are going to go is like, whoa, what a generous guy. You know, sticking some veggie pate in there. You know, you're not insensitive. But there's also three packs of fucking duck liver pate.
Yeah. I got sent a hamper this morning. It's put me in the Christmas mood from my agents. Thank you to Avalon. Shout out to Avalon. Lovely guys.
Big shout out
lovely
to
guys.
Avalon.
Don't
lovely
listen
people.
To what you heard. A lovely hamper, and in it there's some wild boar pate, and that'll be coming.
Yeah. Was there any,
there,
smuggle
there,
it
there
in.
Can't have been any wine in that hamper, though, because you're drinking 5 day old. You're drinking the cooking wine from the fridge. And,
well, I'm saving. There was a bottle of wine. I'm saving it for Goldsmith.
Andy Zaltzman's got a funny story, hasn't he, about Avalon buying Christmas presents, where he got a hamper from Avalon and he was like, oh my God, that's so nice, they sent me a hamper. And he was gigging that night with Frank Skinner, who'd also signed with Avalon, and they'd bought him a boat. Is that true?
That doesn't sound true. But
Frank Skinner is the younger brother, so...
I swear Andy told me that story. I really believed it, but now that I'm retelling it,
look, it seems big, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Sure, I mean, it wasn't like an iPad.
But like, you know, Frank Skinner would have been with Avalon by that stage for like 15 years, would have done, you know, he would have played Wembley, you know.
He's earned a boat.
Tens of times over. He's earned a boat. He's earned a boat. But I think a boat, can you get someone a boat as a present? It feels like too much of, like,
it's
what
a bit
are
like
you going to do?
It's like bullseye, isn't it? It's like if you win a boat, you're fucked, aren't you?
Yeah. What the hell are you going to do with it?
You sell a boat. Well,
I mean, talking about how good I am at sight reading, one of the ads I turned down was for a gambling ad.
Good for you.
It was a series of gambling ads. It ruins lives. I mean, I do it all the time, but it...
it's ruined your life, specifically.
It ruins lives. It may be ruining mine. We'll wait and see. But I said no to it, and it was so much money. And... James, who is in the sketch group Beasts with me, he was in a waiting room for another advert, and they were talking about how nobody gets paid that much for adverts anymore, except for this one that his friend and the guy he was talking to, his friend, had both gone for, this gambling ad. I turned it down. His friend then got it. And the guy said, yeah, do you want to know what he did with the money? He bought a boat.
Oh,
I could have had a boat, guys. I could have had a boat. I don't know what I would have done with it, but I could have had it.
Are you sure?
You could have sailed to Ireland.
Are you sure he didn't? Wasn't the actual payment?
Just
like, we can't give you any cash,
paid in boats.
But we can give you this boat that Frank Skinner doesn't need anymore.
My stag do was on a boat, wasn't it? And we were all sat on the boat, being like, "This is amazing! Oh, for such a lovely time. It's so great being out on a boat. We should do boats more often." And Kieran just had this 1,000-yard stare and just went, I could have had a boat. And we were like, what? I could have had a boat.
There's going to be a real rosebud moment for you at the end of your life when you're just going to say the word, boat!
Rowboat! So what do you think? I think that might well be beef solved there, you know.
It really chimed with me, this beef, because I too am... doing the exact same thing, spending my first Christmas with my girlfriend because I can't go home for it. And what I've resolved to do is just tell them things I want to do are like a family tradition of mine.
Oh, break their hearts.
Yeah.
So for example, there's an NFL, my NFL team's playing that night. I'm going to be family tradition for us is always to watch NFL. I think it's like a great get out clause. You can only do it once.
Are people going to believe that? Does the NFL always happen on Christmas Eve?
Little Nana Clark sits down every year.
She loved the New York Giants. She's such a big fan of the New York Giants, my nan. I think that's a good idea, though. Pass anything off as a tradition, can't you?
There you go.
It was a tradition, Your Honour.
Tom's idea is an absolute... It's a belter.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because it involves, you know, a level of generosity that they can't, you know... And it doesn't have to be showy, does it? It's just generous. Yeah. It's Christmas. You're going, look, you're being so kind. You're giving me, you're letting me stay here for Christmas. I can't go back home. Just to make it feel more festive, I've got you all this stuff. And if they're not using the oven for anything really, then yeah. Stick the ham in there.
I think it's good. I think we take that. So I'm bringing a hamper... And I'm telling them that my family tradition is not to eat a shit dinner.
Yes. Yeah. You may want to do a slight rewrite on that line, but basically the essence of that is true. Kieran, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
God, guys, what such a pleasure. Treat.
Do you think now you're ready to do Goldsmith's Pod?
No.
Listen, there's a future in podcasting for you, Kieran Day. That was an effortless debut.
God, you're gorgeous. You're gorgeous.
It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful.
So nice of you to say.
Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
And now you can spend the afternoon celebrating. You're now a podcaster.
I don't know
time
what
to crack
to do with
open
the rest
the
of the day now that I'm in this state.
I tell you what, now you're a podcaster, you're gonna make so much coin, mate. You're gonna be able to buy like 15 boats.
The old podcaster's dilemma. What do I do with the rest of my day?
From the sorting out your beans.
Wallop, bosh, can't argue with that.
You cannot argue with that. So festive.
Immediately festive.
A great festive app. Love that.
It really makes me want to go and drink a bottle of wine in the middle of the day. There is a man who knows how to live. He knows how to live. What else can we tell you? Oh, yeah, one more message, one more email. This one from Steve this time. Yeah. And it says, it's Pappy's ruining my wife's day.
We will do that.
As I strolled around the house listening to Pappy's on my mobile Bluetooth speaker, chuckling away, why wouldn't I? I remembered my wife had a video meeting in the home office. Oh, no. As I walked towards the door of the office to close it, still holding the speaker, Matthew bellowed, rub a little bit of meth on his anus in the neighborhood watch segment. My wife slammed the door just as I reached it and glared with fury at me through the glass as I laughed my face off. Day ruined. I look forward to reading her review on the podcast app. Steve. Well, thank you, Steve. Apologies to Steve's wife, but I would stay tuned if I were you because it's a very strong neighborhood watch roll call just after this. No meth this time. But
if you want to enjoy it the purest way, do rub a little meth on your anus before you have a listen.
Bottle of white wine, load of meth on the anus.
Let's hope she's not a doctor, shall we?
Who knows? That could be the new vaccine. It could be. Easier to store. So the other thing we should say is the Patreon as well goes from strength to strength. Flatshare Lockdown's really, really fun. If you want to listen to full episodes of Flatshare Lockdown, you can do so at patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Leave us a review on iTunes. Go and follow us on Twitter, all of that kind of stuff. But most of all, have a very Merry Christmas.
Exactly right. We love you very much.
This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
All right, everybody.
Please be upstanding for the Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call.
Okay.
Listen, I've been, yeah, listen.
He's a real gent. His name is Richard Kemp. He's an arsehole.
What?
He's an arsehole.
Right, listen, okay. All
okay,
right.
Okay.
Oh God, fucking hell. His dick weighs a ton. He's Andy Richardson. He's a prick.
He's a prick.
He's a prick.
He's a prick.
He's
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Though.
He's a nice guy. He's a good guy.
We say that in jest.
Richard Kemp, Annie Richardson, good guys.
We say it in jest, but he's a real prick. But we're yeah.
Oi. He goes out rambling. His name is Chris Hamblin. He's a knob.
He's a really nice guy, though.
He's a great lad. Don't get me wrong.
He got nicked by the Old Bailey for being a real cunt. It's Patrick O'Malley. Real nice guy.
He's a good bloke. I think he's really great. And his name is David Waite. He's a cunt. He's a good man.
He's a solid egg.
He's a good egg. He's a round egg.
His loins are very fertile. It's Gary Elod Thurtle. He's a cunt.
He's a lovely little lad. He's a good man, though. Don't listen.
No,
no, no, no. Leave it. Easy now. Leave it.
Have a wash, I've tried to make her, but she won't. It's Emma Baker, smelly girl.
No.
She's lovely. Fresh as a daisy. Honestly, straight out of the spa.
Yeah, you're straight out of the spa. I heard he shagged the sailor and his name is Sam Taylor. He's a prick. No, he's a good. He does a lot for the armed forces.
He loves those sailors.
Okay, here we go.
She is my favourite soldier, Labella Coger.
Clarky, you got a nose bleed, mate.
She's a legend.
I once saw her do a pee. Her name is Kate B. Oh no, don't pee on the floor, Katie B.
Well, when you got a go, you got a go. I heard that from King Mo. He's a prick.
What a really nice guy.
What a good guy.
Could meet someone who'd do more
Kate
for
B,
you.
King Mo, Labella Coger. All good eggs.
He pays a decent wage. His name is Thomas Page. He's a cunt.
He's a lovely lad.
He's a good guy for the wages. But I mean, come on.
He once got his dick out on a cruise liner. It's Rob Reiner. Put it away.
Can we just say his name is Rob Reiner, not Rob Reiner, the movie director who did this is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, no, that guy's never been on a cruise in his life.
Keep it. He's always scheming and planning, and his name is Ben Brannan. He's a prick, a lovely prick. What a good prick.
He loves to get in fights. His name is Ollie Knight.
He's a knight of the realm. He's a good lad.
I'm going to tell you the truth. He's a rotter, innit? His name is Chris Gwinnett. He's a rotter, innit?
He's a good lad, actually.
He's a good lad. Cheerio, but be back soon, yeah.
His politics are moderate. His name is Luke Moderate.
Very nice.
I've disappointed myself with that one there. He's a lovely bloke.
What's that? You need to take it to a doctor. What is that? Seriously, Libby, what is that?
You need to take it to a doctor. What is that?
Oh, well, this cunt's really fancy, and his name is Nick Dancy. Oh, yeah. You absolute rotter.
Oh, he's Dance with Darcy Bustle, and his name is Paul Russell. What a treat. To meet a beautiful ballroom dancer like himself.
10, 9, 8. And that's the countdown.
Yes, the countdown. as much as we're prepared to do there, guys. 10, 9, 8.
Roll call.
You're all lovely people.
Yeah. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.